What you need to know from week one. Today, we're discussing some of the brand new tools and resources that you're going to need for this upcoming fantasy season on Razzball.com. So I'm super excited to break down all the brand new tools and resources right now on Razzball for free, by the way. Before we do, I want to make sure you're following us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. Make sure you're also going to Razzball.com. By the way, not only are we doing football, we have baseball, hockey, and also basketball, dropping articles every single day. We have articles, by the way. We're excited to announce these brand new tools and resources. So before I do, let's start the show. All right, folks, got my main man on the screen, Sky Gawatsko. You can follow him at Sky Gawatsko on Twitter. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I'm stoked for a big game here. Hopefully my boy Herbs lights it up tonight.
Yeah, man. Looks like the Chiefs got the ball already heading into their own territory. I like to see that. But today we're excited to talk about some of the brand new tools and resources over at Razzball.com. So one of the big things, if you've been a part of myself and Sky, we did this over at TCK. We did it with Fantasy Focus. We talk a lot about player trends. What does that mean? We want to make we're following usage data, basically routes run, you know, yards per targets per route run, all the advanced stats that really show usage and what we can kind of predict moving forward. Sometimes production isn't there, but production is not everything, folks. Just because a guy scores a touchdown on a 50-yard bomb doesn't mean it's going to happen every single week if he's only playing one-fifth of the snap. So that's what really today is, and we're really excited to launch some of the new tools and resources you could find on Razzball.com. Before we even start, Sky, did you have any, like, through your research, kind of your thought process, just kick off the show, any trend that you're going to be watching for week two heading into this week?
Yeah, as much as people are bummed about some of our superstars, especially top-tier running backs, you know, CMC, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Cam Akers, what have you, a lot of those top guys didn't produce. My boy Mike Williams going this evening. Wide receiver 93, Bob, 93. That's correct.
That's a number.
I triple-checked it. A lot of those guys didn't perform, but there's a lot of guys that kind of came out of the woods. Robbie Anderson dusted it off, had a great game. Gabe Davis lived up to the hype. But guys like DJ Moore, Adam Thielen, reliable targets, I'm not worried about at all. And if nothing else, I had mentioned earlier in the week with Matt Stiles, those are actually buy low candidates for me. So if I'm not reacting in a negative, I'm actually overreacting in a positive potentially and seeing where I can grab that value long-term in fantasy.
Love it. All right. So let's get into it. You just brought up a very unique name there. New player usage data. So this is the first chart we're going to talk about today. We're going to hop over to Razzball.com. I'm really excited about this. So to get to our new brand new tools and resources, essentially all you got to do is hop over to football.razzball.com and click on the fantasy football data tab. And now we got a couple new charts. We're going to be updating this stuff all year long. If you know anything about me, I am a complete data nerd, and I will make sure to share it with the world. So first, what we're going to talk about now, though, is player usage data. And we wanted to bring some stuff to our people, to the Razzball followers, to the Razzball community, things that are not easily found online. Now, first off, you're going to see a chart. It's going to give you every single player, basically anybody that ran a route on 15% or more of dropbacks. So what does that exactly mean? Every time a quarterback dropped back to throw, that player, running back, tight end, wide receiver, runs a route. That's what we charted here. So we used some data that we have and basically put this all together. So really, we want to make sure you realize the importance of this stuff. So a good example of this is last week when you're looking at it, you filter on using the top row. You can just click these. Obviously, it will update to what you want to see. So if you want to see the most points per dropback, you click on this and it filters by that. If you want to see targets per dropback, you click on this and it shows that. So that's pretty easy. If you want to search by team, all you got to do is go in here, type in the team you want to see. And obviously, well, that's Cleveland and Las Vegas. Of course, I picked the wrong one. Let's do NYG. So if you want to see what the Giants receiving data was, and you can kind of see, okay, who ran the most routes run to dropbacks. Surprisingly, it's Saquon Barkley, which is very surprising for a running back. This is the kind of stuff you can use. And for running backs, if you, for example, you want to say, well, how is 75%? Is it any good? Well, you can hop over here, type in HBAC, and then you can see basically the top players when it came to routes run to dropback. So this is really key. I do like this a lot. Barkley came in three last week.
Daryl Henderson, what the hell?
Daryl Henderson, man. And honestly, that's kind of like some of the stuff we'll – yeah, exactly. So this is kind of the good point. Like, when you're starting to look at this stuff, you could really use this data to kind of figure out, okay, which guy is more of a fluke and what guy is more of a, you know, must-have player. Mike Williams has got a catch. Let's go, Mike Williams. 4.5 reception prop. Let's make it happen. Making dreams live on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. Anyway, but this is kind of the point. When you see Darrell Henderson, and the more we're going to put out data, but what I like to do, and this is probably the best function of this, is export it to the CSV. Export this. You can download it, pop it out, whatever. And then you can kind of start messing around with this in the sense of like adding some, you know, conditional formatting so you can see the different types of, you know, so you can get a better view of what things look like side by side. But the point is, this is really great data to kind of help you identify players that will be more sustainable long-term. Darrell Henderson did not have a big fantasy day. As you can see, I mean, he didn't have this monster game where you're like, okay, this guy put up monster numbers. Now, the one thing I will point out, this usage data is receiving data only. So, like, when you see points per dropback, points per rush routes run, those things are based on how many of receiving work they had. So just keep that in mind as well. So you're going to see guys like Dontrell Hilliard is the number one guy. Well, he had 2 touchdowns and he ran like 6 routes. Yeah. So this is kind of the point right here. This is exactly number one, Dontrell Hilliard, probably a popular waiver wire guy. But this is kind of my point. When you look at this data, you see that he only ran, you know, 6 routes on 35 dropbacks at 17%. That is not good. It's not sustainable. 4 targets on 6 routes, not great. But then you start seeing things normalize. 11% targets to dropbacks, and you know, that's well outside the top 50 in that range. So this is just stuff that you want to keep looking at as well. So this is just like a very unique way to help you find some of the great stuff. So one of the things first that I found that I loved is targets per dropback. This is like kind of your target share number. Adams, Tyreek Hill, but I love how Amon-Ra St. Brown pops out. So you're going to be able to utilize this data every single week to identify players that really are either underperforming based on their usage or, you know, find trade targets. That's another great thing that you can use this for. But I guess my first question to you, Scott, when you're reviewing this data, is there a certain line item that you want to talk about and or player that really stood out?
Well, there's 2 things here. Can you scroll down a little bit for me? Just like right there. Perfect. Up a little bit to the very top, but just give me that's fine right there. So if you just look at the screen for everybody on YouTube, and of course, I'll try to explain this best I can for the podcasters out there and YouTubers, make sure to download the Razzball Fantasy Football podcast, and podcasters, make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube so you can watch and listen whenever you're available. I'm always looking for outliers, Bob. You mentioned Amon-Ra St. Brown, and name-wise, it's an outlier. Donovan Peoples-Jones is an outlier. Kyle Phillips, who had some spring hype down there as well. I like the outliers, but I'm looking at positional, right? The only running backs out here, Saquon Barkley, okay, when he's healthy, we're expecting him to be a big part of the passing game. I don't think anybody expected Javonte Williams to have the impact he did through the pass game last week. 28 routes run. I love seeing that from my running back, right? Saquon had 21 routes. Javonte had 28. And they were still splitting carries in Denver. So if he's going to be more of a pass-catching back with the talent he has, we know he could break tackles and big plays. That's even more boost for Javonte there. So I'm always looking for outliers in general. Then when I look at the wide receivers, I mentioned it a little bit earlier. But when I look at the spreadsheet here, I'm looking at routes run per dropback. And there's a couple guys that pop off. 100% of the dropbacks, they had a route run. And a couple of names you would expect, obviously Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, Jamar Chase, you'd expect those guys to be out there. But how about Robbie Anderson? How about Gabe Davis, right? DJ Moore had a horrendous game for fantasy, but he's out there putting in the work, right? 33 routes, I like that. The Panthers only ran like 40 plays. It was embarrassing, right? So we'll be able to see that move forward soon. Brandon Ayuk, Devontae Parker was out there as well. And Adam Thielen also kind of ghosted for the Vikings, but Jaire Alexander covered Adam Thielen for some reason, did not cover Justin Jefferson. And we saw what happened. I think the league will correct on that with their number one cornerback moving forward. So again, trends kind of outside the box. I'm not always looking at like, did my stud players produce? Yes. And they're supposed to. Awesome. I'm looking at the guys like, why didn't DJ Moore produce? Well, A, B, C, D. But he was putting in the work on the field. Adam Thielen was putting in the work on the field. I expect those numbers to return to the mean. And so those are things that I'm looking, again, either to buy cheap or look at the spreadsheet and kind of monitor those trends.
Now, when you're looking at this too, I want to point out, right, Sky did bring up the guys that ran 100% of routes on dropbacks, and there was nine guys, including guys like Parker, Ayuk, Thielen, you know, Gabriel Davis, like these guys that really, you know, Gabriel Davis obviously played well, but there's some guys that didn't perform. But there's something I want to point out, and this is a really important thing. Now, when you're looking at this, there's another one you want to look at, targets per dropback, targets per route run. So if you got a guy getting 100% of routes, getting in the 20% range in dropbacks and also routes run that you see on the screen, you see the studs, Cup, Chase, Jefferson. Well, you know what's there? Robbie Anderson. Now, this could be an outlier, but like these are the kind of guys you take a speculative ad and you throw them on your bench. You don't start these guys the next week. Of course not. But the guy who's running 100% routes with an improved quarterback, you know, Baker does not have any allegiance to DJ Moore. He's coming in fresh. So, you know, there is a shot that he becomes the primary target for him. But this is not a start thing. This is a stash thing. So I do agree there as well. Let's jump over to the next one. So you go up to the fantasy football tab. I want to talk about the adjusted line yards metric. Now, this one I love. This is a lot of fun. So I put a chart key and some information here for people. So when you go to these individual charts, you'll have information. So this is comes from Football Outsiders. Now, this is just offensive line versus defensive line and the push they get in the run game. So as soon as the ball is hiked, and let's say it's on the 20-yard line, let's say the offensive line gets a push to the 23-yard line. Okay, that's 3 yards that the offensive line is moving in the right direction for their running back, okay? So, like, that's stuff that you want for your running back, because the better the push the offensive line gets, that's more yards before contact that they're going to get. They get a full head of steam. It allows them to break tackles. There's a huge, huge advantage to this. So what we did is created an adjusted line yards matchup metric, which essentially looks at the offensive line versus the defensive line and combines it into a metric based on the average between the two to see which of the top matchups each week. Now, this is not a list from top to bottom of you're not going to start Miles Sanders because he has the best matchup over Jonathan Taylor. I'm not saying that. But what this does is it does help you with those RB3 flex, RB2 decisions. If you have Miles Sanders and David Montgomery, this is a great resource to help you with those tiebreakers. But also, it helps you in DFS because a lot of these guys at the top necessarily might not be. Henderson is the number two matchup on the week. He didn't have a monster game last week. He also might also not be fully valued yet because there was the Cam Akers stuff. So we don't know. So this could make Dow Henderson a very solid DFS play this week because he has an elite matchup in the offensive line versus the defensive line. So this is just something I've been using for a long time. It's really helped me. I finally got to bring it to the forefront. I'm super excited for this. And the best part, too, is by week 3 or 4, we'll start adjusting it based on the teams they face. So you're going to start getting some weighted stuff in here. It is going to be absolutely fantastic. Sky, is there any matchups on here that you kind of saw when you did your research that stand out? Maybe a bad one or a good one that you're going to identify for week 2?
Well, again, I'm going to look at the I'm kind of trying to study the negative, Bob. And I hate to be, you know, the negative guy over here, but that helps me create stats in my head in situations I want to avoid. I'm always more interested in what I want to avoid than what I want to get. We all want to get certain things. We all want to get the great players and the great matchups and the great offensive lines, but often people don't talk enough about what you want to avoid in general. I'm looking at the bottom matchups with adjusted line yards for the offensive line. At the bottom, Houston, no surprise there. Giants, no surprise there. No offense to your boys. Miami, a little bit of a surprise there. They definitely bolstered that offensive line, but they got beat up a little bit. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Arizona, Carolina, Minnesota, all these have starting big-time running backs that we're looking forward to, and they're bottom 10 in adjusted line yards. So that makes me nervous, especially Najee Harris, already kind of beat up, looked terrible the first week behind that offensive line. Alvin Kamara, I expect a big-time bounce back, but also part of that issue. James Conner, same thing. J.K. Dobbins and whomever is running for the Viking or the Ravens at this point, right? Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert, whatever. Saquon, because he can run out of the pass game, right? But Damien Harris, Rex Burkhead, whatever. Those are issues that I'm a little bit Those are issues I'm concerned about because the offensive line is not getting the push. Now, again, we will say this for the first month of the season. It's been 1 week. I'm not going to go crazy. But these are just immediate things I'm going to like, oh, that New Orleans offensive line that's been good for 2 decades wasn't very impressive in week 1. Maybe I should, keep an eye out on that. Pittsburgh, we knew was going to be rough. Sure enough, they were. Baltimore as well. and what have you, right? So those are some trends I'm going to keep paying attention to see if that affects our running backs directly. And as I mentioned, it does. Connor, Harris, Alvin Kamara, and Saquon's really the outlier there because of the pass game work. But otherwise, these guys are pretty much shut down, and that could really affect our offense. Dalvin Cook's on this list. CMC is on this list as well. So that's a little bit concerning early.
Yeah, and listen, this isn't everything, right? Like what we're trying to explain to you is we're trying to identify – we're giving you something different. This is an offensive line versus defensive line. This does not include how good the running back is. So just remember that when you're looking at this data. But like I said before, one of the things I did say on the Sunday Live show is that Dameon Pierce had the worst adjusted line yards metric matchup that week. And I was a little concerned about that. And sure enough, the Indianapolis Colts run defense slowed down the Texans, and he split time with Rex Burkhead, and he was a dud. These are the kind of things that really are important. And, like, listen, we'll see tonight. Prime example, you can call me out on my shit right tonight because Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a top five matchup. We'll see how he does on the ground. I took his rushing over so for some player props, so we'll see how that works out. Let's jump back this onto the screen here, and let's talk a little bit about the next chart and the final one, which essentially is going to be defense slot versus wide analysis for wide receivers, folks. Now, if you are a frequent flyer of my articles on Razzball.com, you know I wrote about this all last year. Today, this season, we're going to give you an actual data that you can manipulate, play with on your own. So basically what we did is looked at how many fantasy points a defense allows to the slot versus out wide to wide receivers each week. This is extremely, extremely useful data because if you have a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown, for example, a Christian Kirk, a Juju Smith-Schuster, these number ones that typically play a lot in the slot, and we know going into this week, they have a very good matchup in the slot, the team that allows a lot more points to the slot. You know that's going to be an underrated matchup for them. They know they're going to be very good. Now, this is something I really want to talk, I love about. So what I did is I created, this is just receiving production only. If a wide receiver rushes the ball or if he throws a pass, it's not included. This is receiving production only. That's something I want to point out. But really love the fact that you can filter on how many slot points per game, how many wide points per game, which is obvious, but it's also the percentages. Now, something that was huge last week that I talked about, that was one of the things that really helped me with the Thursday night slate for the Rams, and I talked about this with Cooper Kupp, was that the Bills were very good last year, but they were a slot funnel defense. And now when I say these things, you know where to go to see what I'm talking about. So what I meant by that is the Buffalo Bills allow most of their fantasy points to the slot. And that's really key. So, and one of the things I noticed last week, we just talked about Mike Williams, right? Look at the data you see on your screen. Las Vegas Raiders, okay? That's who they played in week one. They allowed nearly 91% of their fantasy points out to the slot last week. So out wide, 9%. 9%, 2.9 fantasy points out wide. So I talked about this with Marquise Brown, the Arizona Cardinals. Like, we'll see this week how it happens. Let's see. It's only 1 week of data, folks. We understand that things are going to start maturing a little bit more, but Marquise Brown will be a very good linchpin. If he blows up this week, maybe we know it's a fluke. But if the Raiders slow down Marquise Brown this week, this might be a matchup in week three that we avoid for outside wide receivers. Sky, first thoughts about the slot versus wide and any players you're kind of thinking about for this week?
Yeah, I'm thinking about Jalen Ramsey and the fact that he's been smoked for about four games in a row dating back to last year in the postseason, in the Super Bowl, and on Thursday night by Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis multiple times. I'm looking here at the chart, Bob. 41 fantasy points. Again, it's only week one, but 41 by the Rams. Look at these other defenses up there. Jacksonville, Houston, the Jets, Dallas, Atlanta, Tennessee. Fine, we can live with all of those. The Rams, though, on the outside getting smoked, that's going to be something I'm going to be paying attention to. I know Jalen Ramsey is very good, and he makes a lot of great plays, but he has not been absolutely dominant recently, so he's not necessarily a fade-at-all-cost cornerback like he has been over the last couple of years. I think that's important when you start looking at, you know, your wide receiver two, your flex option, going up against Jalen Ramsey, and you're like, oh man, I don't want him getting, you know, spoke the whole show, so I'm going to take him out maybe this week. I don't know that you need to do that necessarily right now. And then again, I'm going to look at the other side of it. We'll go with the extremes. Chicago Bears played in a swamp in a pool with the Niners, so I'm going to take that out. Niners don't throw the ball anyway. But Tampa Bay, New England, Kansas City, Minnesota, the Colts and the Cardinals, they all played pretty well overall against the outside receiver. So we don't think a lot about fantasy points unless you have a big-time slot receiver like Keenan Allen, who's now out, right? Hunter Renfrow even is somebody in those mixes there. We think a lot of our one and two guys on the outsides, But this tool is so important and it's so easy to use to be looking at weekly as it's updated that you can look right away and look at your matchup and be like, you know, who does Jacksonville play this week? How did they play? What does that outside receiver look like? What do the matchups look like? Who's a guy that I might be on the fringe? And again, 90% of all of the stats and the charts we're showing you and all the information, this is most important for your wide receiver two, your wide receiver three, your flex, your running back two, right? Your streaming tight end, your streaming quarterback, whatever. Your studs are your studs and you're 99% starting those guys. This is important stuff for making that like, okay, Ja'Marr Chase is in my lineup. Am I going to start Mike Williams or Deontay Johnson this week as my wide receiver two? That's when you're going to use the charts, look at matchups, and start running some games. So for me, it's less about what do my studs look like, and it's more about who do the auxiliary guys look like in my lineup and where can I make the adjustments.
You know what? I really feel like, too, when I'm looking at this stuff, I used this last year a lot, and I put this together. And what I started realizing is it's not so – like I talked about in the beginning, it's not so much about total points. It's sometimes about the percentages. Like,
absolutely.
You might think – that, you know, oh yeah, this team is like allows the 23rd most fantasy points. But if you actually dive into where they're actually allowing their fantasy points, they might jump up to above average in the points allowed in the slot. So, you know, okay, I have a guy who gets a lot of targets. Now, the next rendition of this that needs to be done is needing an understanding of where your players are getting those targets. So there's guys like Davante Adams who is a primary outside receiver, but he sees about 33 to 40% of his routes in the slot. So just because he has a really tough out wide matchup, you have to understand that there is guys who will have get a combination of slot and wide targets. So there's another step to this, but we just wanted to bring this to your forefront. So make sure, and by the way, when I finally scrub down YouTube, I will make sure to add the links into every one of these charts for you. But on top of that, we are always open to new ideas. We're actually thinking about throwing out some more stuff on, you know, tight end and running back, you know, data for the same player usage, but like where they're getting their points, how many against expectation, because those are positions where not every team has a good pass catching running back. Not every team has a pass catching tight end. So if you face three straight tight ends who teams that don't have a tight end, and you, of course you're going to look good against tight ends when you don't have to face anybody. So we're going to continue bringing you the data you need to win your fantasy league. But that's all we got for today, folks. This is the week one player trend tools and resources. Make sure you're going, of course, to razzball.com to go check this out. You guys, we have all this stuff, adjusted line yards. We have the player usage data. We have the slot force wide, but we have more than that. We also have the team name generator. We also have the trade analyzer. We also have articles, all the articles you need from start sits to trade targets, whatever you need to win your fantasy leagues, of course. But make sure you go to razzball.com to check out football, baseball, basketball, and hockey. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. You can follow me on Twitter at Bobby LaMarco. Thank you once again, Sky Gawasco, for joining me on today's show. You can follow him at Sky Gawasco. We are out of here.